Disclaimer for all of you, before we pray, today's sermon is going to touch on two words, sensuality and pornography. It's not going to be explicit, but I'm letting you know that I'm going to be talking about these things. And truthfully, this is an appropriate message for any children who know how to use a cell phone, which can go all the way down to very young ages. So wanted to let you know, parents and grandparents, that's what I'm going to be talking about. And now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we ask you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. We pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As many of you know, I'm an avid runner. I run primarily for mental health, but I run 3, 4, 5 times a week. And running tends to cause calluses on one's feet. And calluses are a way of your body protecting your feet from blisters. But even when I'm not getting blisters, my calluses grow. While I was on vacation, I got a pedicure. And I don't know why that's so funny, but I got a pedicure. And I've had pedicures before. And because of all of the calluses on my feet, when I receive a pedicure, they get out this tool called a cheese grater. And they use that cheese grater. They usually start with a filing thing and they end up with a cheese grater. They use it to take all of the calluses off of my feet. And I usually say, please don't take them all off because otherwise my feet are going to hurt at the next run. Well, while we were on vacation, I had a pedicure. And then the next day we went to the beach. Now, walking to the beach, I realized we got out of the car. I didn't have my shoes with me. It was like I was one of my kids. I didn't have any shoes, and I thought, well, I'll be okay. I'll just walk quickly across the cement, and I'll be fine. By the time I got to the beach, a block and a half later, I had a couple huge blisters on the bottoms of my feet just from the heat. Because if you know calluses, they protect you. They're there to protect you from pain. You get a blister, it becomes a callus to protect you from more blisters. They're formed because of discomfort and pain, ultimately leading to a protection from feeling. Now, you remove the calluses, and suddenly you feel things again. You may be wondering, Bill, where are you going with this? Well, Paul uses this imagery of calluses in Ephesians chapter 4 in our reading today, and it's really important. It's an important message for all of us to hear. So I invite you to have your bulletin on page 4 of your bulletin, or if you're at home, you can be looking at your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. And this continues Paul's theme of therefore walk. Last week, we talked about Ephesians 4, the beginning of the chapter, where Paul begins, therefore walk this way. He's saying, therefore, members of the church, Christians, this is how you should walk. This is how you should live. And he instructed followers how to do so. Here in verse 17, Paul again says, therefore, walk. But he adds a negation. He adds no longer. Therefore, no longer walk. This is a warning. And let's read verses 17 and 18. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. First thing I want you to understand is that Paul uses the word Gentiles here, and not all Gentiles mentioned in the New Testament are the same. The word is used differently. In the book of Acts and many other places, there are Gentiles who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. They're Gentile believers. In this case, here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul uses the term Gentiles as a synonym for non-believers. Before Jesus, all Gentiles were outside of Jewish faith unless they had converted. So here Paul uses it as a synonym. These are the non-believers. And he paints a bleak, unfavorable picture of those who do not believe in Jesus. They do not know Jesus. So if you look at those two verses, they're futile in their minds. They have no truth. Their understanding and thinking and minds are darkened. They're alienated. They're separated from the life of God that Paul mentions, a life which is only available through faith in Jesus. Because they don't believe, they're separated from the life of God. And finally, they're ignorant of all of these things. They have ignorance due to what? Their hardness of their hearts. This is a condemning passage, but also right before us is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we hear that in Jesus, by faith in Jesus, one possesses the life of God. You have that. It's new life. And we also hear that when one does not have faith in Jesus, they're darkened. They're separated from that new life. They're hardened in heart, where there would be little peace, little joy, little love, and little fulfillment. Faith in Jesus brings new life, new joy, new fulfillment, not available to the world. Peace that passes all understanding. I want you to hear that this morning and not to forget that. But we also hear about the hardness of the hearts of those who don't believe Jesus is Messiah, Savior, and Lord. And we hear Paul warning Christians, no longer walk that way. So there are Christians whose hearts have become hard again because they've been allowing things to put calluses on their hearts. Now, thinking about this hardness of heart, there's a lot in this passage we're not going to cover. And I commend this to you for later. If you're taking notes, just make a note. Verses 25 through 32. I want you to take a look at that later. Because that declares characteristics of hard hearts. If you're a follower of Jesus, you may have that new life, but your heart may have hardened over time. The characteristics include falsehood, anger, corrupting talk, bitterness, rage and wrath, clamor, which can include shouting of anger or shouting of defensiveness or shouting of instigation, slander and malice. I encourage you to look at all of those things. That's a sermon for another day. But you ought to be thinking about this, because if you have new life in Jesus, I ask you, is your heart becoming more soft? Or is it staying hard and becoming harder? There's only two directions. There's no holding steady. We're either becoming more open to our life in Jesus, or our hearts are becoming more hard. I want to return to our passage now, to our message this morning. We return to verse 18, where Paul's talking about the hardness of the hearts of those who do not know Jesus, and the hardness of the hearts of many Christians in the church right now. And we see in the next verse that they've become callous. Here are calluses. Verse 19, they've become callous and they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now they've become callous. Caused by what? Again, the source is the hardness of heart. And they were not always callous, but hard hearts have led them to develop calluses, progressively protecting their hearts from injury, from openness, from pain. and it leads to them giving themselves up to sensuality, giving up or surrendering themselves to sensuality. Now, the Greek word here, giving up, is literally the Greek word that's translated betray in other places. The same word that's used by Judas when he betrayed Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, your hardness of heart leads to callousness, which leads to your being betrayed into more and more sensuality. And it says, given themselves up, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Remember, calluses keep you from feeling. A hard heart isn't going to feel much anyway. Calluses further protect you from feeling. And untreated, what calluses do? They just get thicker. They don't go away. And with sensuality, this means calluses cause you to feel less. So it's going to take more sensuality for you to feel anything. And that's where the more and more comes in. Paul makes it clear, they're greedy for every kind of impurity. Paul is saying to first century Christians, you must no longer walk as non-believers do. You've been redeemed, so you're different. And then applying today's onslaught of sensuality, I say to you, followers of Jesus, seeking to live lives of holiness and righteousness, lives molded after our Lord and Savior, your heart should not be hard and calloused. You should be affected, reacting when profanity and sensuality and violence are experienced. You should react and want to flee. And this is a message today that you all need to hear, and that you all need to pay attention to. It's a revelation from the Apostle Paul to you and me in our culture of media, social media, and entertainment. And I want you to think about it, the way we get calloused to what we see. So this doesn't exactly connect, but think about little children. When they see their parents kissing, what do they frequently do? Ew! But if they're used to it, then they get a little bit more tolerant. Sometimes teenagers say, ooh. That's how you and I react the first time we encounter graphic sensuality or coarse language for the first time. There's a reaction. You may not remember that. But when it surprises you and you're not callous, there's a reaction. Maybe you look away. Maybe you flinch. But there's a reaction. This isn't right. But the more and more that you see, the more and more that you hear, the more and more that you watch, you know that you get used to it. You no longer react. You tolerate it like calluses growing. Then you are open to more things that are more offensive, more seductive, more tolerant. You tolerate more and more and more. Your hearts become harder and harder. As you tolerate and crave more and more sensuality, it's a satisfaction that never endures. You're always left looking for more, so you look for more, and ultimately it leads to isolation. Many times it leads to shame, loneliness, depression, helplessness, bondage, and despair. And that despair, I can't stop this, can lead to further hardening of your heart. It's a cycle. And this morning we're talking about sensuality. It's particularly dangerous because of what it does to our brains. Sensuality causes the brain to release dopamine. It feels good. It's washed in pleasure. It's not different from the effects of drug use. And then If we're dealing with any sort of pain or depression or struggle or anxiety, and you get a rush of feeling good, wow, I want to find that again. And so we look again. And just like drug use, sensuality can lead to the rewiring of the brain so that it's a pathway to find relief from anxiety, pain, and fear. That's not just sensuality, it's anything that rewires our brain. I've been trying to give up sugar in my diet. That's not an easy thing to give up. But I can tell you, throughout the day I'm okay, but every night after dinner, I'm looking for sugar. I'm looking for chocolate or the Oreos. Or why is that? My brain's been wired. Pleasure's here, dinner's over. And that needs to be rewired for me to stop looking for it. Hasn't happened yet. Pray for me. It's not fun. Ginny has to keep moving her stash around. Our brains are literally rewired. And we seek more, and we tolerate more, and we become more calloused and more hard. For some, though, for some, this pursuit of more and more pleasure, greedy for more and more impurity, becomes an aggressive greediness as the brain craves more and more, and it leads to addiction. This is an epidemic in our culture. It's an epidemic not just in non-believers, but in the church. That greediness for more and more sensuality, especially in the church, leads to isolation. It leads to depression, more loneliness, more shame. It medicates for a moment, and then, I can't stop this. And it leads to bondage. As followers of Jesus, we know we're called to live differently. But when we're steeped in failure and shame, we don't feel good enough. And we hide. This greediness to practice more and more sensuality is exactly what our media culture, our social media culture, and the free access to pornography, it perpetuates. It's creating this world. And it's an epidemic, and it's not going away. Any child who has a cell phone will accidentally find it. Any child who has a cell phone who can accidentally find it is going to show it to other children. There are many who, in their media, they target children, sneaking things in. So children will find it where only children should be. How do I know that? Because the same thing happens to me when I go looking for the news. I have to be intentional, ready for the stuff to pop up for as I'm scrolling through the news. Don't need to look at that. It takes work. It just comes at you. If you are a follower of Jesus, I hope you're taking note of this passage. If this is new, mark it, read it, learn it, inwardly digest it, because there's hope here. You are called to live differently in the world, and there's hope from the Apostle Paul here. Because you are given new life in Jesus Christ. While at the same time, the hardness and the callousness will corrupt and damage that new life. You have it, but what are you to do when it's become broken, damaged, soiled? When anger, unforgiveness, lust pervades. Now, this is true for any addiction. This can be with regard to love of money. This could be, you name it. Other addictions can lead to these things, to the shame and the hiding, but especially with sensuality. That's why Paul's talking about it. And this is where Paul shifts and turns to hope. Look at verse 20. He says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Paul, in essence, there's an exclamation point there. This is Paul asserting, this is not who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is not who you are. Remember, that is not the way you learn Christ. New Christians in that culture, they were taught, they were discipled, they were educated in understanding their faith and Jesus Christ and what that meant in their new life. So Paul says, assuming that's not who you are, assuming you have heard, assuming you were taught as the truth is in Jesus. And he goes on in verse 22. You know this, that you're to put off your old self, to put it away, to unclothe yourself, your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. It's corrupted, damaged, soiled, your old self, your former self, but also the sin nature you continue to battle against. Through deceitful desires, that literally means longing, deceitful longing. And longing can be used in a positive sense, as I long to be with the Lord. It is used that in some places in the Bible, but that longing with regard to sensuality is lust. He says, that's not who you are. Put off your old self. And then verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So you are to put off your old self, and you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. He declares that your minds are to be renewed, are to be remade. And this is hope for anyone steeped in shame, because it's not just doing better or trying harder or more willpower. This is the power of God through Jesus Christ remaking your mind. It's a gift that you receive by salvation in His name. He heals and restores the pathways in your mind. Paul declares that the new self we are to put on and clothe ourselves with, look at verse 24. And put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's created. That's the same Greek word used in the Greek Old Testament in Genesis, where God created all things. It's a Greek word only used for God's creation, primarily used that way. So this is God creating from nothing. It's not you making your mind better. Again, this is a gift. God creating a new mind, renewing your mind, creating a new self and giving it to you as a gift. Because it did not exist before you had faith. As Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, your new self is created after the likeness of the triune God. As God's people redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are given new selves, new minds created anew. Only He can create that new self and new mind. It's a gift from Him. And there's an already and a not yet to this, because some of you may be hearing, I know I've got that, but I'm still hiding. I'm still ashamed. For some, when they repent and return to the Lord, God recreates. For others, it's a long process as God recreates. There's no right or wrong. You're not less sanctified or less holy because it takes a while. Or if it's an addiction, it may not go away. It may be the way your mind is. But the hope is that when we return to God and ask Him, take these calluses off, confess your sin, He will begin that process again. We are fully redeemed in our new self and new mind, but we are not fully restored because We're fully redeemed when we receive faith in Jesus Christ, and then we live in this world plagued by sin, our sin nature, until we die, or until Jesus returns and we see him face to face. So we're always on this journey, and our hearts always will either be making more soft or moving backwards, becoming more hardened, more corrupted. It never ends. You have an enemy, the devil, who wants you to be corrupted and to stay defiled and hard. He wants to keep you immobilized, isolated in depression and shame, whatever may be causing that. And that's where you need the body of Christ around you. You may think, but I've got so much shame and everyone else is doing so much better. Sorry, no one's doing any better. We're all struggling against that. We may be a little further along in our journeys, but we're still all battling. There was no one righteous, not one. But those of us that have been redeemed can help others. We can lift each other up. I want to challenge you, if you are isolated, you are locked down, you are struggling with sensuality or with shame of any nature, I challenge you to take a move. Take a step. Respond to the good news of Jesus and receive his hope and his healing and his joy and his love through the renewing of your mind and the recreating of yourself. Jay, I'd like you to stand. Jay leads a ministry called Living Without Lust. Jay deals with this area of sensuality head on 24/7. And the ministry deals with this. Jay's going to be in the chapel classroom immediately after the service. If you're online, email the church. We'll connect you with Jay. Because all of you are either struggling, or you know someone who's struggling, or you're in a relationship with someone who's struggling. It's an epidemic. Don't keep it in the darkness. Bring your struggles into the light. Again, no one is perfect. And if you can't bring it to one another, we need to be able to do that, to confess to one another. Bring it to me today. Bring it to Jay. If you think, I can't even walk in there today, then email me, call me. Let's have coffee. Reach out to Jean. She'll meet with you. Reach out to Scott. Because I can tell you, there's no confession that you can lay before me that's going to shock me. This is an epidemic. I'm watching marriages damaged by this. I'm watching jobs lost by this in real time. I will not be shocked by any confession. I assure you, though, that when you bring these things into the light, you will be shocked by the freedom you receive when you confess and when God begins to take away that hardness and take away those calluses and to recreate your heart open to him. If today you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, I think you understand you're a non-believer. You're outside of this new life. You don't have access to these resources. I hope this paints a picture of the hope and new life and cleansing and restoration and fulfillment that are only available through Jesus Christ, and I hope it leaves you wanting. For the rest of you who believe in Jesus, know today that the enemy seeks moment by moment to seduce you with sensuality, to put calluses around and to harden your heart, to corrupt your new life. Choose this day to walk in the light, to bring your struggles into the light, to confess before me, before Jay, before one of your own people. Bring your struggles into the light and receive the renewal of your minds and the removal of the hardness and calluses of your heart. All for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.